Hi, I'm Adam Sanford. I'm an academic life coach and professor in Los Angeles.
And I'm Dinur Bloom. I'm a college professor in Los Angeles. And this is Learning Made Easier, a podcast where we discuss how we learn, how we teach, and how they overlap.
Welcome back to Learning Made Easier. You're listening to the COVID-19 special episodes of Learning Made Easier.
This podcast is about effective learning and effective teaching. And now we all have to do this with a new wrinkle provided by COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, which is sweeping the world in a pandemic the likes of which we have not seen since AIDS, polio, and the 1918 Spanish flu.
As a result of COVID-19, many universities, colleges, and K-12 schools have either closed down or move to distance learning, which, for most teachers, means going online. In this special COVID-19 series, we will unpack some of the major issues teachers and students are facing, as well as ways to deal with these issues.
Please note, we are not going to pull punches here. We are going to be direct and blunt about what can be done and what can't be done. We're not going to be able to tell you how to keep things just the way they used to be. That is not possible. So, with that in mind, let's move forward.
This is our second episode in the series, and it deals with the idea of academic rigor during coronavirus. Another way to think of this is finding the balance of fair with compassionate, humane, and kind teaching. The theme for our episode is, if there's power in saying no and being rigid, then there's power in saying yes and being flexible.
And let's be honest, there's a lot more power in saying yes than there ever will be in saying no. Saying yes allows for movement and progress, while saying no shuts things down. You know, when actors learn to improvise, and I know this because I've worked at the Renaissance Fair, the first thing that actors learn with improvisation is to always say yes and instead of no but to a prompt from some other actor. Think about how you can say yes and to the situations that come up in the next few weeks or few months while you have to transition to online and asynchronous teaching. We'll give examples during this episode because we are all learning to improvise right now.
The idea of rigor or fairness is often equated with toughness. But this isn't tough in terms of engaging new material, right? Reading a new study and figuring out how it fits in with the existing literature. It's not toughness in terms of developing new skills. Usually rigor is kind of a punitive toughness with harsh grades. Now, how you want to grade your classes during normal times is your business, just as this is. But given the current circumstances, Adam and I encourage you to show compassion and kindness with grades. Some quote-unquote rigorous professors are having students submit work daily or several times per week in the middle of a pandemic. This is an unrealistic expectation. We don't know all of the additional responsibilities that have been foisted on our students' shoulders, and we need to take those responsibilities into consideration.
Now, some people say compassion, that's being weak. No, compassion means being kind. And you can be kind and still be firm, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Compassion includes being very, very flexible with due dates for tests and due dates for assignments. It includes reducing the number of assignments if you can, or shortening your exams. Compassion means allowing tests to be open everything. Open book, open note, open internet, open slides, open reading. We have had discussions with colleagues who are encouraging using things like lockdown browsers to prevent cheating. Don't do that. Just don't do that. This mindset assumes that students are looking to cheat. You really think they're looking to cheat while they're worrying about their grandmother dying of COVID-19? Really? It assumes that they're looking to cheat instead of dealing with the much more pressing issues that this pandemic has dropped in their laps and sometimes on their heads. Demanding that your students turn in a lot of assignments right now is not rigorous. It is unreasonable and rigid. Allow your students to work at their own pace as much as possible. And consider dropping any assignments that aren't substantive, but are just busy work or practice or I've always done this. You may have always done this. Now you might have to consider why. And if it turns out that the reason you're doing it is because you've always done it and it doesn't really connect up with your student learning objectives for the class, chuck it. Make their lives easier.
Compassion also includes how overall course grades are assessed. Now, the fairest way is going based strictly on the grade earned. And that should be our default, right? If nothing bad like this was happening, how would we evaluate our students? The extreme version of kindness is giving everyone an A, regardless of how students do on assignments or tests or did up until that point, with the assumption being that life is throwing way too much at students for school to be a priority. So for me, I'm trying to split those two extremes. I don't think it's fair to look just at the grade earned, but I also don't think it's fair to just give everyone straight A's. So what I'm doing is I'm paying attention to where my students' grades were prior to campus being shut down for the pandemic. So let's say I have a student who has a B+, but they continue to do the work for the class asynchronously, and the work slips down to, or their grade slips down to a B- or a B. When it comes to filed grades for the semester, I'm filing that B+, because I don't want to penalize for stresses that were related to this virus and to these additional responsibilities. To me, that's kind of the fairest and most compassionate way of assessing grades. So what my students have done for the first 7 or 8 weeks of the term still counts. And those who, you know, have done well should not be penalized for it. But it also means that those who have slacked off and not submitted anything don't get a free A because of this current situation. The way I see it is, given our extenuating circumstances, it is patently unfair to penalize a student who's still trying to learn while juggling responsibilities in a very rapidly changing situation. And I know I mentioned this in our first episode, but I extend deadlines for students who communicate with me and let me know they need that. I'm happy to be flexible and say, hey, ideally you're taking a test around this date, but if you need to take longer, go for it.
Now, I've already had students ask me to extend due dates and make them flexible, and I've done that. I've also had one student tell me they were just terrified of taking a class online. I've sent them an email saying, okay, tell me what is frightening you? What is the problem? And I'm still waiting to find out what, if anything, I can change or extend to make it less scary. And of course, I'm holding extended office hours because so many of our students who have not taken an online class, they know they don't do well trying to learn on their own. They need communication. They need interaction. They need to talk out a problem. They need to have somebody say, well, have you thought about this? And so I'm holding extended online office hours so that students can do that. They can reach me. They can talk with me to make it easier and less frightening. I'm also encouraging my students to create online study groups. And I was giving credit for study groups already during this semester. I think a lot of my students will probably take advantage of that. They'll get on Zoom, or they'll get on Google Hangouts, or even just get into a Google Doc and interact with each other. So we also need to talk about the ethics of these issues, because there are a lot of people who I know are out there saying, but it's not ethical to do these things. You know, we still need to have rigor. I get it. I understand your desire for rigor, but you got to bend at this point. So let's talk about the ethics.
So I was going to say one way to deal with it is reconsider what rigorous means, right? Don't think of it as toughness in terms of grading, but think of it in terms of, hey, here's a real life situation. How can we use what we've been talking about in this class to better understand it? That's rigorous because you're forcing students to engage with class material in a way that they have not considered before.
I think we also need to think of rigor as how much are they learning? Not how many points did they get, but how much can they explain it, understand it, analyze what you're giving them? If you gave them a test question on COVID-19 and said, for example, for my intro class, I might say, in an organization's unit, I might put in something that says, in a short answer, use what you've learned in this unit to describe how organizations might respond to the pandemic currently going on. Now that brings it into the classroom, right? That brings it into something that they can work on. And it also shows how much have they actually learned about organizational theory. If they can't answer the question very well, then I know that their grasp of these concepts is not good. But if they can answer it in a reasonable way and say, well, organizational theory, it says it's top down, so I would expect the people running the organization to say, you know what, we're shutting down for the safety of our employees, for the safety of our customers, for the safety of the people who are interacting with our employees and customers, we're going to shut down. And here are 3 organizational theory reasons why. And if they can do that, I know that they understand the material. And if that's not rigor, I don't know what is. And the thing about rigor is one of those things, it's just, we've got to redefine rigor. And I really think what we need to do is define it out. get rid of it. Realize that rigor is not what we're talking about here. If what we're saying is everybody has to turn in X number of assignments by this date and get at least this much, and if they don't get this much, then they're a failure and that's the end of it. You don't know if that C student understands more if all you're doing is giving them multiple choice tests that are timed with a Respondus online browser to lock them down. Okay, that's not rigor. That's just control freakishness.
Now, Adam, well, you mentioned talking about the ethics of giving everyone A's and why that could be a problem. Well, let's say you have students that for the first half of the term or the first three quarters of the term, depending on when this pandemic hit in your academic term, they haven't submitted work or the work they've submitted just wasn't up to the quality that you expect. Giving them an A without putting in the same effort as their peers prior to the pandemic kind of rewards them for not doing what they should have been doing as students. And that's not fair to the students who have been busting their tail and have been working. And so for me, it's a little unfair to give everyone A's, even though that's by far the nicest approach to doing grading.
On the other hand, it's not fair to fail the students who were really doing well until the pandemic hit and then their work drops. Of course their work drops. They are stressed out. They've got 1,000 other things slamming down on them. Yesterday, I sent my students an email, and one of the things I said was, this class should be the bottom of your priority list right now. It should be the last thing you're worried about. Right now, I know that you have family situations, you've got work situations, you've got money situations, you've got health situations. These are all a higher priority than this class. And so the students who were doing well, they need to have the confidence that what they've done so far is going to allow them to at least pass the class. But the students who haven't done anything, basically they haven't been in class, have they? And so those students do not deserve to get, as Denor said, it's not fair to give them even a passing grade if they have not been doing the work. Now, some people will say, well, but they might have all turned it in near the end of the class. Well, then they would have done that anyway, right? Just like if they were going to cheat, they were going to cheat anyway. It's not like the pandemic made them cheat. It's not like the pandemic made them, you know, slack off on their work for the 8 weeks before we close the campus. So we've got to really look at what is both kind and fair to the students and kind of lean toward kind.
But in addition to the stresses that Adam mentioned, right, family, finances, jobs, another stress or a few sources of stress are going to be mental and emotional health. And this is a very mentally taxing time for all of us, you know, both teachers and students alike. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. And that's why Adam and I are emphasizing this idea of compassionate or humane teaching and recognizing that this is a very unusual situation. And the fact that it's unusual presents stresses that are new in and of themselves. Some teachers might be worried about, well, if we go easy on our students, right, we don't have them do any tests or any work, we've got to realize that our students aren't going to work on our strict deadlines. They're not going to work on the schedule that we had laid out months in advance when we were planning out our semester or our quarter. Our students are not living in a vacuum just as we are, and we're in a unique, kind of unprecedented, at least for our generation's situation. And now, more than ever is the time to show kindness. It's the time to show compassion because we're dealing with something new and we work better. We are stronger together as a collective than we are as individuals.
There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And the other thing about going fast is that you burn out. And we don't want our students to burn out. We want them to know they can reach out for support. We can allow them to do collaborative work. We can say, okay, so that one paper that everybody was going to do, we're not doing that, all right? We're just not doing that. And the ethics of penalizing students whose work suffers during the pandemic, that we got to remember, they may not have consistent access to the resources that they need to do well. We don't know if they have internet access. We don't know if they have a word processor. We can't judge them on things like spelling and grammar anymore. All right, that can't be something that's part of the class because they're probably typing their response to you in a window in the LMS from their phone. Have you ever tried to make sure that you had no typos in something that you're writing on a phone or that your prose was perfectly fluid and perfectly natural? If you have and you've been able to do it, you're very unusual. All right. Most people can't.
And for those teachers who are insisting on strict rules and strict timing, let's not lock ourselves in an iron cage of rules designed for calmer times. That's right. For any theory students listening, you thought you could escape some vapor? Think again, unser Freunden.
Now, our recommendations this time, there are still three groups, but since we're not talking about being online, today we're going to talk about how to help folks who were already doing well in the class before the campus shut down, people who were struggling but making an effort before the campus shut down, and then the people who have checked out or never participated. And this is actually two groups too. There are those who suddenly woke up when the campus shut down and went, oh hell, I've got to catch up, and those who did not, like those students who have never responded to the emails you've been sending out in the last few days. We need to talk about how to help each of these groups. So for the students who were already doing well, encourage them to keep doing well. Tell them the adjustments that you've made to how the class works so that they won't fail due to the stress of all these uncomfortable and uncontrollable changes they're facing, like Denor deciding that whatever grade they had before this hit, they're not going to drop below that.
For students who were struggling but were trying, reach out to them. Give them tutoring sessions. Give them chat sessions, discussion boards, whatever you can offer given their limitations like data and internet availability and devices to be able to use the internet. Try and help them catch up to speed because they are trying. They're making that effort. You know, and now you have time. The articles that you were writing can wait a little bit. Focus on your students. Help them.
And for people who are checked out, let them see schoolwork as kind of an escape from the chaos around them. Giving them some structure to do their work and deadlines for their work can help some students remember what day it is. And that's really important. Right now, a lot of our students depended on the structure of on Tuesdays, I get up and I go to class at 11. And then I go home for a little while and then I go to class at 5 p.m. And that structure is gone. So giving them some kind of structure can really help them stay on track. And getting them to dive into new material that can offer a mental escape from the current situation. It can also provide insight into what they're seeing. And it can help them make sense of their current changing realities. Math professors, you may want to put together some problems that deal with epidemiology. Bio professors, you might want to talk about the biology of virus transmission. Social professors, talk about how society is responding or not responding to this existential threat that we're facing. All right, art professors, have them draw something or paint something that represents their feelings about this situation. Bring it in, okay? Because you want to make sure you get these folks who were checked out, checked back in.
And for people who are completely unreachable, meaning they've checked out and dropped out, they're not responding to your attempts to contact them, send their names and other identifying information to your administration and ask admin to follow up while keeping to the same standards that you're holding for other students. So whatever those students' grade was before your school shut down and moved to a distance or online learning, that's their grade unless they get in contact with you and start doing the work.
And in this case, for those who are demanding rigor, this is no different than what we would do with a student who stopped showing up, right? They've stopped showing up and they're not responding. Okay, you've done your due diligence, but don't just say, well, I'm not going to reach out to my students, but if they don't show up and do all the work, you know, you do have to do a little more now. You do have to reach out and show, I tried to reach this student and nothing happened. And folks, while we're on the topic of compassion, be kind to yourself too. This is a completely unprecedented situation, and nobody is expecting you to be perfect at this right at the start of things or even in the middle of things. Teaching online, distance teaching, teaching asynchronously, this is a skill. It takes time to learn it. Some people pick it up rapidly, and some people struggle, just like our students. So don't beat yourself up if you're a digital newbie who's intimidated by your computer. Reach out to your colleagues and say, hey, how do I use this part of the learning management system? I can't figure out how to create an assignment. Have somebody get on the phone with you and walk you through it, all right? But don't beat yourself up just because this is totally new. Instead of saying, I can't do this, try saying, I've never done this before, or I haven't done this yet, or I'm learning how to do this. Try a growth mindset.
Students, the same thing goes for you. Some of you are going to take to online learning like a duck takes to water. Others will be more like a duck with weights tied to its feet. Try to focus on the material you're learning and try not to stress out when the online learning management systems don't make a lot of sense. Give yourself and your teachers more time than you used to, and try not to stress out while you're waiting for answers. We're all stressed out right now, and trying to rush is not going to help anyone.
For example, I have a fairly new client, and I was in session with him last Sunday, and he was stressed. He says, well, the school's shut down. You know, we're not going to go into regular classes anymore. We're all online, and I haven't heard anything from any of my teachers. It had been less than 2 days since his campus had shut down, and it was the weekend. And I said, okay, look, most of your professors are probably scrambling right now to figure out how to get their classes online. Many of them have never taught online before. This is all brand new to them. And they're probably freaking out at least as much as you are. You got to give them a little more time because they've got to get themselves together, and they really aren't there yet. He said, oh, I thought teachers always had a plan for everything. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works for most of us. We have not taught online before. So it's going to be a little stressful. So be kind to yourselves too, folks, students, teachers, our colleagues. Try not to beat yourself up for what you don't already know. You will learn. It's going to be like a trial by fire, but you will learn it. So that's what we have for you in this special episode of Learning Made Easier. Please send this to other professionals and students who may be facing these issues. The easiest link to share is probably our Patreon, patreon.com/learningmadeeasier. And if you're able to support us on Patreon right now, we would really, really appreciate it.
Please join us on March 24th for our next COVID-19 episode, where we'll talk about using a public crisis as a teaching tool.
And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Learning Made Easier, a podcast about how we learn, how we teach, and how they overlap.
We want to say thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon who make this podcast possible.
If you want to support us, please go to www.patreon.com/learningmadeeasier.
And we look forward to seeing you next week.